The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders. And indeed, this is the voice. We're still the voice. After all these years, we're still the voice of the Christian resistance. And tonight, boy, do we have a lot to talk about. So, let's get going. We have on the board none other than Courageous Craig.
Good evening, everybody.
And way out yonder in Texas, we have Chaplain John McTurton.
Hello, Pastor Ernie, and God bless you and all our listeners.
Well, thank you. Right here live with me in the studio, we have none other than Ron Ritz.
Good evening, everyone.
And I am their hero. There you go. Anyhow, we got a lot to talk about tonight, so we got to get right to it, because I got some smart guys here with me tonight, so working with three smart guys. Let's get right to it. I'm going to read a couple verses out of Leviticus chapter 20, and then going to be talking about what's happening out there. I've got an article here. COVID jabs linked to surge in demonic possessions, religious leaders say. We're going to take a look at that and see what that's really all about, too. So here, in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 6, and the soul that turneth from such as familiar spirits and after wizards to go whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people. Sanctify yourself, therefore. Be you holy, I am holy, the Lord your God. And you shall keep my statutes and do them, and I am the Lord which sanctify you. And then we go to the last verse, which is verse 27. Well, verse 26, 27. And you shall be a holy people for me, for the Lord, for I am the Lord, I am holy, and I have served you from other people. I have severed you from other people that you should be mine. And a man also or a woman that hath a familiar spirit or that is a wizard shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones, and their blood shall be upon them. Now, let me just ask you about this. Now, we are to be a holy people, right, John? He says here, sanctify yourself, therefore, be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God, and you shall keep my statutes, and I am the Lord which sanctify you. And then here, he says here, and you shall be holy unto me, for I am holy, and have severed you from other people. You shall be mine. Now, he was speaking to the nation of Israel. Would that very same thing apply to the church today?
You know, Pastor Ernie, I have to confess, I was reading all of Leviticus 20 while you were talking.
Well, there's a whole lot in there. I mean, if you want to go there, that'll take up some time.
Yeah, I have to say, it's something that I've never really delved into, but I really got caught up with this familiar spirit, and I wanted to, I was doing some reading on it, so I'm sorry, Pastor Ernie. I can't answer your question.
Well, John, you know, I never mind, never mind. I had a...
Have mercy on me tonight.
Alrighty, I will. Okay, but anyhow, let me just say this. Let's go. First of all, he's talking about being holy, okay? Now, he's speaking to the nation of Israel here. Now, would that apply to us in the church today? You have two nations that were formed.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Pastor Ernie. First Peter talks about that. Be ye holy as I am holy.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. Now, then, should we lay that one on Ron? He's kind of the rookie here, and have him tell us how you should be holy.
Well, basically, you would abide by the Ten Commandments first and foremost, and then we would actually have to take the Lord Jesus Christ as our salvation. I think that's...
Well, yeah, that would be the very first thing. But he answers that question, if you read that in both verses here. Let me read that. Now, he answers the questions, what makes you holy? Sanctify yourself, and therefore, and be you holy, for I am the Lord your God, you should be holy. Now, here you go, ready?
Keep
my statutes and do them. I am the Lord which sanctify you. So that's what he's, in other words, obedience. The one thing that God asks and demands more than anything else from Genesis to Revelation is obedience. Huh? Yep. And so here now, but he says this, and a man also and woman with a familiar spirit or that is a wizard. Now, what is a person with a familiar spirit is referred to as what?
Well, Pastor Ernie, a familiar spirit is, if I'm understanding it correctly, could this run from a family through a family?
Well, actually, specifically in the Bible, it talks about those with a familiar spirit as witches. They're witches. And so, and then he also is talking about wizards or warlocks, okay? So you have witches and warlocks actually can have a familiar spirit. Wizards are virtually the same thing, except for the wizard kind of deals a little bit more with pharmakia. The wizards deal more more into the pharmakia, the magic type thing, the drugs, the hallucinatory drugs and things like that. But if you look up familiar spirits, the definition will be witchcraft, okay? And so, and that's what he's talking about through Scripture. If you look up, what does the Bible say? How do you deal with a witch?
They'd be put to death.
Yeah.
Stone them.
And here it says, and also a man or woman that have a familiar spirit or a wizard shall surely be put to death. They shall be stoned with stones. And so here now the question is, and this is what I'm going to be dealing with. I'm going to be preaching on this week, Lord's willing, unless the Lord changes. Because witchcraft is worse than it's ever been.
Yep.
Witchcraft is more prevalent today. And wizardry. Witchcraft and wizardry is more prevalent today than it's ever been. But today, if I was to say, John, tell me, how does a wizard or a witch dress? You know, all the pictures you get of witches and wizards, witches are wearing long black dresses with pointy hats, and they're riding on brooms, okay? But that's not the way they appear today, and it's the very same thing with wizards, you know? Wizards with their long robes and their pointy hats, right? And their magic wands. What is that movie? Oh, that's out. What was that?
Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, the Lord of the Rings. Yeah, yeah. That would be example. The guy that's in there. That guy, by the way, is an atheist. He plays in that. He plays in other movies. The one who plays the wizard, the guy with the white, you know, the old white-haired fella.
Okay.
Anyhow, he's an atheist. I listened to an interview with him, and I can't remember his name. But anyhow, here, so wizards today, oh, there are plenty of wizards out there today. But they don't go, many of them, you know, have CEO behind their names, okay? And so, but they're practicing wizardry, and they're doing it right in front of your face, and the vast majority of people in this country are totally oblivious. They've got no clue at all. They're absolutely clueless. And so we're going to be taking a look at that. That's what I think I'll be preaching on, Lord's willing, here. But meanwhile, speaking of wizardry, that deals a lot, again, like I said, with pharmakia, with drugs and things like what they call vaccines today, okay? And here's an article, and it's an article from Citizens News. And let's see, the author on this one is Ethan Huff. And Ethan has got a reputation for being very, very credible. He goes on to say here, there are now so many fully vaccinated people, and I'm trying to, let me get this thing, they got it stapled together here. There are now so many fully vaccinated people showing strong signs of demonic possession that a new St. Michael's Center for Spiritual Liberation and Exorcism is opening in Manila, Philippines. According to reports, the new site will be dedicated to perform exorcisms on people who got jabbed for the Wuhan coronavirus, COVID-19. Father Jose Francisco Sequoia says he receives about 10 reports every single day of demons infesting the bodies of the jabbed, the people that have been jabbed. The Roman Catholic Church is responsible for erecting the facility, which is reportedly the first of its kind in Asia. Priests will be trained in the order of expelling demons, said Sequoia, the director of the archdiocese, which holds the position of chief exorcist. The official story is that the pandemic and all of the stressors are responsible for the uplift in demonic possession. But the reality is that the jabs also are a major contributor related demon possession has been on the rise for many years now. Well, we've seen that, absolutely. Okay. Now, a product of more than 7 years of prayers, planning, and fundraising, this will be the first of its kind in Asia. It is not, if not the world, the archdiocese says. Now, the center will minister to those in bondage to the devil, who are therefore the poorest of the poor and are usually overlooked. The facility will have special rooms for not just exorcisms, but also interviews and counseling. Full possession, according to Sequoia, only accounts for about 20% of all exorcisms performed by the Roman Catholic Church. The majority, he says, have performed on people who are being harassed physically by evil spirits. In the past 3 to 5 years, Sequoia added that he has been a sharp increase in witchcraft activity taking place inside people's homes, which is also a factor in the current crisis. The first Vatican-endorsed course on exorcism was introduced in 2005, and it will be used to train priests not only in Manila but all around the world in the art of casting out demons from people's body. The Manila facility will serve as the headquarters of the Philippines associated with Catholic exorcists known as PACE. It falls under Catholic Bishops' Conference in the Philippines. Okay, what do you think about all of that, John McTurton?
Well, I don't buy into Catholic exorcism, Pastor Ernie. I don't see it matching the Bible at all. And the Philippines has a lot of paganism mixed in with the Catholic Church. So there could be a lot of things stirring this up. But when I understand the way the Catholic Church causes or performs exorcism, I don't buy into it.
All right, well, let me ask you this. Do you believe in casting out demons? That, there comes a time when you have to cast out a demon. Do you believe that?
Absolutely. Pastor Ernie, in my ministry, which I mentioned now and then, in especially Pakistan, when we're dealing with the Muslims and the Hindus, and part of my preaching of the gospel is I follow Luke 4:18, and the last part says, "Set at liberty them that are crushed." And if you look at that, it's really in context. There, it's oppressed of the devil. So the Lord went about oppressing, freeing all who were oppressed of the devil. So that was part of his ministry, and we see it. I see with my own eyes in Pakistan, dealing with the Hindus and with the Muslims.
Well, I've had hands-on on several occasions where I've had to cast out demons, people that were possessed. And once we had a confrontation with a whole large number of Satanists. And this was at an abortion mill. My job was, when we had an Operation Rescue, my job was to pull the Satanists away from where the rescue was going to go down. And it was going to go down on one side of town and over by University Circle. But my job was to get them away so our people could close down the bloody abortion mill. And so what I did all week long, I said Saturday, 7 a.m., light against darkness, good against evil. Number 5, Seventh Circle, be there. That's all I said. I didn't say anything about we were going to rescue the place. I just said be there. Light against dark, good against evil. And so come Saturday, I only had about 5 people with me. I went out there, and the whole circle. Now, this is a big shopping center, a big circle. It's where you have all these big stores in there. A mall was in there. And so I get out there, and the police have got the whole thing roped off. They've got it roped off. They got it closed. They'll let you come in, and then but you can only go to the right, not to the left around the circle. So I go over there, and the Satanists are out there waiting on us. There's about anywhere between, I don't know, somebody said there was about 80 of them out there. And while we were there, the police had tapes up between my people and the Satanists. The police had a line between us. And so at that place, we had an junction. You might have remembered, John. You may have come out there with me. There was three islands. In other words, there were...
Yes. The very first time I stayed at your place, that we went early in the morning on a Saturday morning.
Yeah.
Right when you were talking.
Now, at this time, there was an injunction against me before I could go up by the door, but now I was, the courts had put me, had an injunction, and I was restricted to the islands, but only the people that were in concert with me could be on that island. That's what the court order said. Only those that were in concert, you know, so I thought, does that mean they're singing with me? Okay, hear what? But anyhow... So I'm out there, and the police come up, and the police are a little confused. They thought we were going to rescue the place. They expected to see 200-300 pro-lifers there. So the guy in charge comes up and says, "Are you guys going to rescue this, or what?" And I ask him, I says, "How would you like to avoid a whole lot of paperwork? The cops hate the paperwork, okay?" He said, "Well, I'd like that a lot." And I said, "I'll tell you what. What I'm going to do here is some theatrics. And if you want to do some theatrics with me, and you'll avoid a whole lot of paperwork." And he said, I'm in. What do I do?" I said, just stay here, do what you're doing, keep between us and them." And so, meanwhile, here comes John. He's their leader. He's a great big guy. He's satanically, he's possessed. You ought to have seen John, what he was wearing. You know, this John was about your size, John McTernan. And he had, I can't even tell you that what was blaspheme Christ, what much, much worse, buttons. He had these buttons and things on him. He was wearing, he had like this vest. And he goes up and he comes right up to my island. And he stands there to show everybody he's going to violate the law and he's going to confront me right there. Now, here's the thing, John. My back was to the police. And I was facing this guy. And, I mean, I was up face to face, up close. And I told him, John, I said, there's nothing wrong with you, boy, except for you don't have any guts. And he laughed. He said, I'm not afraid of you, and I'm not afraid of your Christ. And he said, we will defeat you. I said, look. I said, right now I can prove. John, listen to me, son. I can prove Jesus Christ right here and now. I can do that. I can prove him to you right now. If you only had the guts. But now, see what was going on? Is they couldn't see. They couldn't see that I was poking him in the chest. See, the cops behind me, all they could see was my back. But I'm poking him in the chest. I'm saying, right, if you only had the guts. And while I'm doing that, then his face is getting redder and redder, and you can see his eyes. And I said, do you have the guts, boy? You know, and he said, what do I do? I said, right now, if you'll do this, we'll prove the Lord Jesus Christ right here and now. He says, what do? I said, take my hand and just repeat. If you got the courage, but you got to do it. You got to believe and repeat these words after me. So he took my hand, John, and we said the sinner's prayer. We said the sinner's prayer right there. And John, you had to see it. You know, I don't know how. I just knew that God was going to come through for this. I just knew it. I just had. You know how you get that feeling of peace that passes all understanding? That's what happened.
Sure.
So we said that prayer, and this guy, you ought to have seen it, this guy, his whole countenance changed. He didn't even look the same. His face did not even look the same, John. And this great big guy, after he said this in his prayer, started crying. He had tears running down his face, and he said, he spoke to me just like you said. He said he spoke, Jesus talked to me. Jesus spoke to me. And he's crying, and he said, I'm saved. He said, I'm saved. And so here, I mean, that was more than I expected, I can tell you that. I didn't, you know. So what happened, all the Satanists were looking at him. Now, up until this time, every now and then, probably once every couple of weeks, I'd get this guy that would call in. And he would speak in a satanic voice, and he would try to blaspheme Christ, and he would say, we will destroy you, Satan is God, and all of this and that. And so, you know, when he did this, he said, thank you, give me a hug, you know. And I thought, I says, boy, this guy, they're going to kill him. They're going to kill him, because he did that right in front of all of them. So, I looked over, and I said, you better go right through the police line here. Stay behind that police line, okay? And you got to get out of here, and the police will keep these people here so nobody follows you, but you got to get out of here. And he did. And he walked over, and he walked through my people. As he walked through my people, he stopped, and he shook hands and embraced and whatever. But I never heard from him again. But listen, if they killed him, at least he went right to heaven, didn't he?
Yeah, you saved him.
Yeah,
eternally.
It's rough out there with these people. I mean, it's getting rougher and rougher by the day.
You had asked, do the demonic, you know, do they wear pointy hats and, you know, dress like witches? You can see them today pretty much in all the movies. The music, the videos, they're out there. And like you say, they're in suit and tie running things. So it doesn't take too much imagination to actually see them today.
Well, see, a lot of people don't quite think, really understand, you know, what real witchcraft is. They get the, you know, they get these pictures of these Democratic women from now and that riding brooms and with black hats and that, but that's not really what it is. Okay, for example, who is probably the best known witch in America today?
Oh, it's that female actress. I could see her face best, Ernie. I can't think of her name. I can't tell you. I just can't think of it. And once you say it, I'll know it.
Well, you would be wrong, because the best known witch in America today is Hillary Clinton.
That's what I was going to say.
She is the leader.
You're right, Ernie. No, you're right. You're right.
And
it was
so
an actress, though, that was big years ago. She was promoting, you know, that whole... she was really the one that was out front with it. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Are you talking about Oprah?
No.
Oprah was New Age. She was involved in real heavy-duty New Age stuff. She was out front. I'm trying to think of who that could be.
She was at a women's march, I think, I know who you're talking about 4 or 5 years ago in D.C. Is that the one?
Well,
she's up in age now.
Most all of those women from NOW are involved in witchcraft. I mean, they're almost all of them. I mean, that's a big thing. When we would go out and we would have Operation Rescue, or if you go to the bloody abortion mills, and you look at the cars driving in there, the women that are working there, many of them have got witchcraft bumper stickers on their cars. But hang tight. We're up against a break. We'll be back right after this.
Feels so fine, this New Age church of mine. The service is laid back. But still I know you reap what's sowed, and I can't stop thinking about all of that. Well, I remember when God was praised, but that's not what the New Age church is for. Truth is fine, but it's long gone. The gospel's truth, but it ain't wanted anymore. I am, he said. You had better care. There is a judgment for all. You will be there. I am, he died. And he has risen on high. And if you're lost, then you had better know why. Believe him only still. Did you ever read about a child who seemed to be a king? And he became one. Well, he's coming back to judge the world, and he and the Father are still the very same one. But I've had a fearfulness deep inside, and I've cried because I'm so afraid to know. And I'm not a man kind to be scared. Will I go to heaven, or as I feared, below? I am, he said. You had better care. Is it a judgment for all? You will be there. I am, he died. He is risen on high. If you're lost, then you had better know why. I am, he said. You had better care. There is a judgment for all. You will be there. I am, he died. He is risen.
All righty, we are back. And guess what? Listen to this. Folks, don't forget. Hey, John, do you know what's going to happen in about 38 days from now around the country?
Well, that would probably take us into early September.
Yeah. About 38 days from now, they are going to destroy all of the ballots.
Yep.
To destroy all of the ballots.
Oh, yes.
For the
right.
2020. Now, unless we can stop it. And what we've been doing is we have decertifyfraud.com, decertifyfraud.com. And we've been going up there, and we've had people for $100, you can, for $100 donation to certifyfraud.com, you can send about 300 and something postcards to the state representatives in all five swing states. See, that's where all the evidence lies. And we will still have that evidence. We don't want them to destroy that, all those ballots. Okay, they're, because you have so many illegal ballots. And so here's what you do, folks. You don't have to send the whole amount.
You can donate, I think even $25, it'll go to a specific state. So it's anywhere from $25 to $100.
Okay. John, that wasn't Elizabeth Montgomery. I think she just played a witch, right?
No, that was
Bewitched.
Okay, well, we have people not. Now go ahead and say that again, Ron, because somebody else was talking to me.
Okay. You don't have to donate $100. Even if you've got $25, you can donate $25, and then they'll mail out the postcards to a specific state.
All right, very good. Okay, so here's what you do. It's decertifyfraud.com, folks. Go up to that on the Internet. And you can do however you want, but do something, please, do something. We've got to stop them now. This coming Sunday, last night, John, we had folks out there that were there in January. We're in D.C. on January 6th, and they gave the account of what they saw. Now, we're showing it, a film, Lord's willing, this coming Sunday from 4 to 6, and the film is put out by Epic Times, and it's what really happened. The film is what really happened there. And so it's just like, folks, like what we're doing with the 2,000 mules. We've gone through several hundred 2,000 mules we've sent out. We've got more. And for a donation of $60 or more, you can get one. For a donation of $75, they can get 2,000 mules plus one of the CDs or the songs you hear on this radio program. Every day we have people calling wanting to know if they could get one particular song. You know, we don't have a CD with one particular song on it. You know, you don't have those. But we have the songs that we play here. We have three different CDs that we use, and we also have a fourth one right now. A fourth one is being made right now. So it'll be those songs that you hear, the ones that we play in one of those CDs. You'll get whatever one you want. You know, it's just a whatever song, right?
Yeah, all of them are on the website, too, now. The three CDs, anyhow. So you can actually go to the website and then pick, you know, one, two, or three.
All righty. There you go. And so, that's what we're asking, a donation of that amount, folks. And we're doing it because we really need it right now more than ever. This is going into August. This is summertime. The toughest time of the year, and we've been having a very, very tough time. Now, anyhow, human lab rats getting vaccinated for monkeypox automatically enrolls you in the World Health Data Collection Clinical Trial. Every person who takes the vaccine for monkeypox is being automatically enrolled in a clinical trial to gauge its effectiveness, according to the World Health Organization. Tim Nijen, who's chief of infectious hazardous preparedness agency, says nobody really knows what the monkeypox injections will do to people. I mean, it's amazing. Yeah. This country has gone crazy. This world has lost its mind, right?
Well there was a meme. Go on ahead, John.
Yeah, thank you. Mr. Ernie, at least they're telling you up front and not lying about the COVID-19 death shot.
Yeah, I know, but it's at that point now they're saying, listen, come on, get the shot. You really need to, because it'll kill you. And people are not very smart, are they?
No, there was a meme 2 years ago. It was a cartoon with two mice in a lab, and the first mouse goes, are you going to get the COVID vaccine? And the second one said, no, I'm going to wait till the human trials are over. And that's pretty much what they're doing with us.
In 2019, when they were talking about these vaccines, right, and they were bringing them out, and we had Wendy on here, and we did a lot of research, and we found out that, John, that they were experimental because every one of the lab, 100% of the lab animals that they tested the vaccines on died. They all died.
That's true.
Now, we're telling people this. This, and then we had those virologists come out. The one that just died recently, the Jewish fellow, I'm having one of my senior moments again, but and we had the guys that invented
from Pfizer.
The one from Pfizer was the vice president over there. He was a scientist. He was their lead scientist, and he came out and said, "Don't take it." He said, "Don't take that shot." He worked on that. He said, but the guy that actually invented the mRNA, Robert, what's his
Malone? Malone.
Robert Malone. We played a clip of him right here on the program saying how, don't take it. It's a weapon. I invented it for the military. It's a bioweapon. Don't take it. It can kill you. It can kill you. Okay, now, what happens is what they're doing now is they're getting people's DNA. You have this this organization out here that you hear see advertised all the time that say you send them your DNA and they'll tell you.
Okay. Yeah, 23 something.
Well, we find out these people have been sending that to China.
Yeah.
China has been buying all of the DNA samples. So why? So they can specifically make a virus that will target a specific
groups
of people. Nationalities, groups of nationality of people. And so this is not a smart thing to do at all, to take these shots. Okay. He goes on to say, monkeypox injections, just like COVID injections, are new to the scenes and have never before been used on a large scale. This is unknown how people with the disease will react to post-injections. Government officials in the United Kingdom are pushing a jab children for monkeypox. Oh, Lord. They're really killing the children. They're really going after, they're really targeting children nowadays.
Okay? Yeah.
And see, this is a part of that wizardry. This is a part of this worldwide wizardry that is on the rise. I would like to underline one thing that is very important to WHO. That's so-called the World Health Organization. I would call it the World Health Organization. Okay. We just got some information from our brilliant, our genius there that we got. And he said that witch that you're thinking about was Shirley MacLaine, John.
Yes. That's her. Yes.
Is she still alive?
Yeah, she is. She's very old, though.
Yeah.
Now, Pastor Ernie, I wanted to share something from Revelation 18 to tie into what you were saying?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Revelation 18 is describing Babylon, economic Babylon, at the end days. And it says, after these, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was litten with his glory, lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen. Now listen to this. And it's become a habitation of devils, on the hold of every foul spirit, the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. And all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed, now look at this, rich to the abundance of the delicacies. So it tells us in the end times, when we're, and that's what we're in now, the economic system, the World Bank, and the, well, we're going to show you the pharmaceuticals and all, they're all full of demons. They're up to their eyeballs in demons. Now, God is judging Babylon. We'll go down to verse 23. And the light of the candle shall shine no more in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall be heard no more in thee. For the merchants were made, the merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorcery, Pastor Ernie, were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of the prophets and of the saints and of all that was slain upon the earth. So, the sorceries, that's former, that's where we get the word pharmacy.
Right, pharmacree, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So, it shows that in the end times, the pharmaceuticals are going to be raised up to be like the wealthiest on earth, and yet they're going to go after God's people. They're going to kill the blood of the prophets and the saints and of all that was slain upon the earth will be led by the pharmaceuticals.
And so, and we look at this, now the other thing there is, you'll notice when Satan is being described in Isaiah 14 and also in Ezekiel 28, he's referred to as a trafficker in his trafficking. That's human trafficking that it's referring to there. And when you see this today, does human trafficking and the drug cartels, do they go hand in hand?
Absolutely. No doubt about it.
So you're seeing how it's all coming together, huh?
Yes. Yeah, it's all put together now. It's exactly like the Bible says it's going to be.
Well, Ron, do you have an article there that you wanted to share?
Yeah, this is a UK government agency known as the Office for National Statistics recently published new data on the deaths by vaccination status in England. And this is alarming to say the least, but basically they've stated that UK government admits COVID vaccinated children are thousands times more likely to die from any cause and likely to die from the COVID-19 than unvaccinated children.
I think we know that they're much, much more likely to die than the unvaccinated. We know that.
But they're talking thousands of percent. That's just it's just amazing that they actually came out with this.
That's kind of, now here, let me see, because that article there, that is by the Exposé News, okay? So they're really putting their reputation on the line on that. I mean, that's, here you go. I can't believe this. John, they say that Prime Minister of the UK revealed it. Johnson announced the resignation as Prime Minister, and they reveal that COVID-19 vaccinated children are 4,423%. That means 45 times more likely to die of any cause than unvaccinated children. Oh, I see. So they're saying that these people would. So what they're virtually telling you is that the vax is totally does away with their immune system. This is,
yeah.
That's what they're telling you here. Yeah.
I'm surprised they actually released that.
Yeah, I am too. It's amazing. Every now and then, God has them in derision at times. He really does. Here's one by Fabio Glipsi Carlo Carasello. And here, this article, it is truly worrying that a military news media very close to the Pentagon signals the risk that the weapons supplied by the U.S. to Ukraine could end up in the wrong hands. Well, that won't be the first time that's happened with us, huh? Here he goes on to say, the topic has been repeatedly flagged by counter-information media such as Gospel News, Veterans Today, and the Intel Drop, but now it's coming to a showdown. Even Defense One, a portal specialized international geolithic, analyzes the military field, but always very complacent with the Pentagon, has renewed the alarm. It is very strange that this comes from a network that is absolutely close to NATO's positions on the war in Ukraine. This can mean two things. Or the American military environment has grown tired of sustaining a war in Ukraine unleashed by NATO and already has lost against Russia. If the Third World is not to be triggered, as announced by the UK general. Or it is a code warning for the intelligence experts aimed at justifying large terrorist actions in Europe, thanks to weapons from overseas. In both cases, the utmost attention must be paid. Well, we saw Barack Obama's Attorney General Eric Holder. He was caught arming the Mexican drug cartel. He was caught arming them. And he walked away unscathed because we had no Justice Department. Huh?
Yeah, the guns actually were involved in American deaths. They actually came back over the border.
Yeah. And they killed some of our Border Patrol agents with them. Okay.
We got to give credit. The credit is due. There were two BATF agents that blew the whistle on this. And they suffered greatly. I don't know what happened to them, but in their careers, they were dead in the water. They were said that they were liars. They were told they were liars, and therefore they couldn't, because their own agency called them liars. They couldn't present. They couldn't go before the grand jury and jury trial. And it was all. The ATF management lied about it. Then the U.S. attorney in Arizona lied about it. Then they started lying about it in Washington. And then Holder lied about it. It was called, there was a name for that.
Operation Fast and Furious. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So that's what they did.
Well, so many times. I mean, look.
The federal government was running guns to the
cartels.
John, if you remember about 3 years ago, I had a former gang leader call me. And he was on the air. And he said, look, I'm a former gang leader in Chicago, one of the street gangs. He ran one of those street gangs, and he got saved to come out of there. And they were a really evil group, okay? And so he was telling me that about once every couple of weeks, they would get a phone call, an anonymous phone call, and they would be given a location, and you would go to that location, and there would be a crate of guns there. And this is in Chicago, a crate of guns. And he told me, he said, we knew it was coming from the feds. The feds were doing it. And so, there you go. I mean, look who just armed. Would you say the Taliban is the enemies of America?
Pastor Ernie, they've been armed as a military power.
Now they are. They're one of the largest military powers in the world now because...
Right, right.
And you don't think that they would be more than willing to use those against Americans?
Yeah, we've been arming them really back when they were called the Mujahideen in the 1980s. And it's going to come back to bite us again.
Well, that's, you know, he's bringing all the illegals in. And we tell people, be prepared for this, because Biden is bringing in, he's got these sleeper cells all over the country. All of these young, fighting-age men that he's bringing in there, large groups, and they're brought to these little towns, and they're going to be waiting for the signal, because they're going to do, and we don't have an FBI anymore. It used to be the FBI would fight against this stuff. Now they promote it. And so we can't trust them anymore, okay? Possible nationwide rail strike, 30 to 60 days away, right at harvest time. And here, I think Biden begged them not to strike. Let me see. Joe Biden just bought the country food supply a little bit more time by signing an executive order to keep America's railroads running for another month. However, there's still a pretty good chance that negotiations between rail workers and their unions will sour during this time, driving America's 140,000-mile rail network to a screeching halt come harvest time. What am I hearing from our members is fewer equipment issues, said Mike Safer, president and CEO of National Feed and Grain Association, following Biden's actions. The equipment and engines don't seem to be breaking down, but the amount of time it's taken to get the trains and the reliability of receiving them have. In case you missed it, America's 57,000-some-odd rail workers had planned to walk off the job on July 18th. And in protest of low wages and poor working conditions. Biden intervened by signing an executive order that prohibits the strike and a 30-day cooling period for two sides to come up with a solution. During the 30-day cooling period, Biden appointed President Emergency Board, appointed a Presidential Emergency Board. Boy, can you imagine the people that would be on that? I mean,
yeah.
And investigates the dispute to come up with the recommendations for settlement. After that, the railroads have another 30 days maximum to either accept or reject the proposal. What this means is that should the negotiations fail during this time, America's rail lines will basically close up shop around September 18th, which is right smack dab in the middle of harvest season in America. All right, we're going to be coming up to a break here. Now, when we come back from the break, I'm going to be playing you a clip, and this has to do with an election that took place in more fraud in Colorado, but this lady, praise the good Lord, this woman is standing up, the one who should have won this, and she is fighting back, and so, well, you're going to hear about it here in about 10 seconds, so. 9, 8, ready? 7, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Fight the fight.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.